Father, I just thank you and I praise you right now for all that you're doing and everything you're going to do for each and every one of us. There's needs in this church that need to be met, and Father God, there's needs all over the world that need to be met that I'm expecting you to meet them, Father. And we agree right now tonight in one mind and one accord that your angelic hosts are out working their little hearts out, meeting the people's needs, taking the promises to the people, doing the work you've called them forth to do. And Father, we thank you and praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm hearing God say if we would just all band together in the Spirit, that the enemy wouldn't be able to attack us individually like he's doing. And see, we're not evidently not all banding together in the Spirit. In other words, you know, we're not praying for one another. We shouldn't have to put out a prayer alert to get you to pray. You know, you should be walking so close to God and so close in the Spirit that you just, God had just put an unction there. You need to pray. There's something going on. You need to pray. And you really don't need to know what that something is. You just start holding it up before the Lord. And, you know, and God will take care of whatever the thing is. And I really would really like to see each one of you guys in here walk that close with God, where you know exactly what to do and when to do it and know exactly what God is getting ready to do. First of all, in your life, and then into people's lives around about you, and also in the world. Now, he's been speaking that he wants to take people up into the heavenly realm where he can speak to them and show them what is going on in the earthly realm and then send you back so that you can tell the people what is going to be happening. Now, I think that's really an interesting place to be, don't you? Wouldn't you like to be sitting in your living room and all of a sudden you're still sitting there, but your spirit man is up in heaven and God is walking you around or just taking you into the throne of grace and showing you things that are going to be happening in the world and then give you instructions what he wants you, he's going to send you back with instructions what he wants you to tell the people to get ready for. Wouldn't that be better than just sitting in your living room, sitting there watching TV or yelling at your kids or whatever you might be doing, playing, you know, gin rummy or whatever. I don't know what you do. But, you know, wouldn't that be so much better? Wouldn't that be so much more interesting? And the reasons why that doesn't happen is because we're not intimate enough with the Father. We don't spend enough intimate time with him. We don't rejoice with him even in our, you know, in our times of adversity. We moan and groan and complain, and he's been calling us to rejoice. You know, I look at these young kids that are sitting down here, and I'm like, you're so bored you can't hardly stand yourself, you know, and you're looking at the ceiling doing every other thing except paying attention to what God is saying. You say, well, I need to have a classroom upstairs. No, we tried that, and all you did was carry on and got the teacher upset. You know, you overrode the teacher. So what you need is a good dose of the Holy Spirit. That's what everybody needs, is a good dose of the Holy Spirit. If you have a good dose of the Holy Spirit, you won't be bored anywhere you're at, in church, out of church. You know what I'm saying? You will just be just so happy you can't stand yourself. And all you'll be thinking about is, what can I do next for you, Lord? I'm going to teach about worship tonight, and out of the corner of my eye, when I was trying to take care of the baby, I saw that little girl back there just dancing her heart out. Was Lighthouse Kids dancing her heart out? I don't believe so. Never seen you dance a lick. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. You know what God said? All right, the church people that he's been ministering to aren't doing what he's called them to do, so he's going to sidestep you, and he'll bring in new people. He will be hungry and thirsty and thirsting after him, and then he's going to use them do the great works in this end time hour. Maybe you young kids don't, there's no adults involved in this too, all right? Just not young kids. But, you know, don't you young kids want something other than the dull life you live? I mean, don't you want to be vibrant? Don't you want to be like a lot of kids? There's a lot of kids out there. They're laying hands on the sick. They're prophesying, you know, and they're seeing great and mighty things happen. But, you know, somewhere in your heart, you have to want that. God's not going to come in and override your will or your heart. He's not going to do that. Something inside of you has to have a little spark of life in there, and you know that God can ignite. How many of you can agree that most of the church is not walking the Spirit? Right? They can say they're Spirit-led, but they're really not. If you're Spirit-led, you wouldn't make some of the dumb mistakes that you make. I'm talking about in church. I don't know what you do at home, but in church, I watch you. You make some of the dumbest mistakes, you know, and I know you're not being led by the Spirit. Now, this is not criticism, really. This is trying to teach you need to be more in the Spirit. You need to be walking closer to God than what you are. I know a lot of you people that work under me, you're watching me to see what's going to happen next, and that's good. But I would also like it to be where, and then I see some of you do things that, and don't tell me you're led by the Spirit, ma'am, because you're not. You might hear a voice, but it's not the voice of God telling you what to do. And I think, oh, geez, here we go again. But see, you know, we've got to quit going around that same mountain over and over again. We have to come to a place where we know that we know that we know. Because God said it's not going to be the pastors, the evangelists, you know, the bishops that are going to be doing the work. It's going to be you guys sitting in the seats. But before he can use you guys, you have to be walking in the Spirit. Are you listening? You know, just like, okay, I don't know what you do in your household, but in my household, I have, when I have Trinity, we have three kids. You know, Trinity gets up grumpy. She takes her while to get, you know, organized in her mind. Gabriel gets up, don't bother me, let me lay here for another half hour until I get awake, fully awake. And then there's Isaiah. The fireball. He jumps out of bed and carries on like a fool. He has you wore out in 5 minutes, all right, because he's all over the place. So, you know, I'm trying to do all this with these three kids and, of course, with Larry's help. Then the phone rings. Somebody wants to hear a word from the Lord. And see, the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. So this morning somebody called me and, do you have a minute? I said, yep. Yeah. I was just, you know, I just changed the poop diaper so I had 5 minutes before the next diaper change, all right? And so the person started talking to me and they had to hear from God. And God started speaking. Didn't matter how many kids were in the house, didn't matter how many diapers needed to be changed, God met that person's need. Why did you do this? Because I walk in the Spirit. And I'm instant in season and out of season. I have given my life totally and completely over to God, and in any given second, God can use me. And next thing I know here, I'm talking about Brother Chris Lynch. I'm wondering where Brother Chris is, and he's at the door saying, Mom, shh. You know, and so he says, come on. He says, I need you to pray before I go to town. So I went out, prayed for him, and he went on to town. See, this is the way we need to be living our lives. If somebody wants to know, what do I do all day? I do the work of the Lord all day. What do you do all day? I want you to think about this. Because I don't care. God said when your job sites, he wants to use you. He wants to use you if you're in buying groceries. He wants to use you anywhere that you're at. He needs you people so full of his Spirit that he can just, in a given second, just start using you to speak through. So are you there? And if you're there, wonderful. But if you're not there, then you need to hurry up and get there because God said he's going to leave you along the wayside and he's going to start using the world to take your place. And he's also prophesied a while back that this is the time when the first was going to be last. In other words, you guys could be sitting there as long as you want. And then he said, then last is going to be first. And you can sit here and do whatever you want. Dry up the vine if you want, but he's going to bring the world in and start using the world. So it's up to you and I. How God uses us. All right? The problem with the body of Christ, we can't find workers. And I know somebody wants to work in the church, and I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to accommodate this. But, you know, we don't have workers in the body of Christ. I was thinking the other day, I don't even have an usher, you know, who can seat people and make sure things are taken care of while the service is going. See, if we're coming into the house of God, it's just not so we can be blessed. It's that we can be a blessing to the church. Isn't that right? If you haven't been taught that, that's right. We're just not coming in here just to sit and do nothing. Tonight I want to talk about worship. And the reason why I'm talking about worship is because I know that some of you are still bound up in your worship. You really don't worship the way God would want you to worship. You know, and whenever somebody used to come in and yell like I do, I It would startle me, you know. I thought, why do they do that? Now I'm doing it. And I was like, why am I doing that? Well, we're going to learn why we're doing these different things. All right. I was never one to shout during praise and worship. All right. Now this here is Lee Grady's, all right? And I ran across this, and half is his and half is mine. But this, he said, I was raised in a traditional church where people worshiped God reverently while holding identical blue hymns. Isn't it? Oh, I was raised that way too, all right? The only instruments in our church were a piano and an organ. And nobody got too excited except for the one old man in the front row who sometimes belted out in an uncomfortable amen during the preacher's sermon. Now, see, when I first started church, I was one of these preachers. You don't sit, when you walk in the house, you don't say a word. When you sing, you're very quiet with your singing. And you don't interrupt when the preacher's preaching, all right? You don't say amen at anything, all right? So I know what he's talking about here. And I went to churches like that's how I was raised, in churches like that. Then at age 18, I had a life-changing experience with the Holy Spirit. And I ended up visiting an African-American church on the other side of town. Now, see, I had trouble going to an African-American church because I thought they were too radical, all right? Brother Chris will tell you that. These people worshiped Jesus with no inhibitions. They flailed their arms, shouted hallelujah, and swayed to the beat of drums. I was so energized by their passionate praise that I couldn't wait for the next meeting. And I'm going to tell you, that's why some people don't like to come here, because they don't like the way we worship. All right? Worshiping God with your whole heart. I soon learned from studying Scripture that my African-American brothers and sisters were worshiping the biblical way, even though it was foreign to me. God never intended for his people to hide their enthusiasm. The more exuberant I became in my worship, the more personal freedom I experienced. That is true. The more excited you get in praise and worship, the more you're freed up. I began to leave the shallow waters of religious tradition. And see, God said, no more religion, right? I ventured into the deep ocean of total abandonment. I learned what it means to worship God with my whole heart, with no fear of people's opinions. Many churches today have adopted a freestyle of worship, and some of the best praise music ever recorded is available to our generation. Yet I find that many Christians have still not learned the secret of uninhibited praise. Many of us are content to listen to a music team on stage when God never intended a worship service to be a concert. He invites all of us to be fully and radically engaged in extravagant worship. And brother, Sister Nancy was saying to me the other day, I remember when you'd call us all up front to do praise and worship, and how God really moved in the anointing that was in this area as we prayed. And she said a lot of things happened during that time. And you know, and I've told you that the flaggers now bat you in the head with their flag if you aren't careful, you know. But if you want to, you know, run that little course, so you can come up here and just get in the anointing. Have you ever watched Deborah? She's right in front of me, so I see her. She's getting skinny. I think it's because she bounces so much. Amen. So some of us want to lose weight. Maybe we need to get some flags and start bouncing, right? I learned what it means to worship God with my whole heart, with no fear of people's opinions. Many churches today have adopted a freestyle of worship. But where am I supposed to be at, Nancy? Do who? Have you shed your inhibitions to worship? I often challenge people to compare their worship experience with the Book of Psalms, which should be the standard for every church, regardless of nationality, culture, or denomination. Psalms calls us to joyful, energetic, unreserved, high-voltage praise. Every now and then when Brother Allen's behind me and he stomps his foot, that's high voltage praise, and I about jump out of my chair because he doesn't want to at least expect it, okay? But see, God told him, son, as you stomp your foot, you'll destroy the enemy. Isn't that what he told you? So see, he's okay to stomp his foot. I don't care who stomps her foot. And I keep saying, God, don't let the termite eating wood give away while we're stomping, right? Have you found the freedom to express your worship in these ways? Declaring praise. The psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so in Psalm 107:2. Praise is simply honoring God for his character and attributes. You know, we sang that song tonight, the king is coming in. if you really knew what you were singing, you wouldn't be sitting in your seat. You would be bowing down before him, and you would really be exuberant in your praise. It's saying Jesus is coming in. And we just sing that song like we sing any other song, right? Oh, well, this is just a new song. You see, one time God told me they don't know what they're even singing. And I really admonish everybody, listen to the words that you're singing and understand what you're really saying. And that will help you a lot in your worship. But it, all right, so I said praise is simply honoring God for his character and attributes. But it is not enough to just think nice thoughts about him. You must verbalize how much you are thankful for his mercy, forgiveness, and goodness. I think that's another reason why we can't really get excited about praise and worship, because we don't even understand what God has done for us and what he's still doing for us and how he protects us and leads and guides and directs us. Raising hands. I don't see very many people raising hands in the house of God. It used to be everybody raised their hands all the time. I don't see that anymore. Raising hands. King David said in Psalm 63:4, I will lift up my hands in your name. That's why when people come to the altar, they stand there like this. I say, lift your hands up to God in total surrender. And when you're lifting your hands up to God in praise and worship, you're totally surrendering yourself to God. And you're in total abandonment. He can come and do anything he wants. That's what you're getting. You're inviting him in whenever you do that. I'll never forget the first time I saw a room full of Christians praising God with their hands in the air. It looked like a bank robbery. God asked us to raise our hands because our physical posture affects our hearts. Lifting your hands will help you surrender totally to him. And I notice whenever Debbie is up here, and there are certain songs, she'll just kneel down and just hold her flags really still. And that really blesses me to watch her do that, because she is in total abandonment to God, really honoring him for who he is. Singing. Can you imagine a world without music? It lifts our hearts, releases joy, and breaks the power of anxiety. Can you imagine a world without music? It lifts our hearts, releases joy, and breaks the power of anxiety. The psalmist said in Psalm 101:1, a psalm of David, I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. How many of you sing in the shower? How many of you just start singing in the spirit and you just let God take you over in the shower? I do that all the time. And that one little girl used to live there, she said, when you start that, I just stand outside the shower door till you're done. Because she said, it's so beautiful and it really affects me. So even though she was a sinner, when I would just abandon myself and sing, you know, sing in the spirit, it really touched her. So, you know, if you're just somewhere singing, you know, singing in the spirit, you don't know who you're touching, right? Don't just listen to songs in church or mouth the words on half-heartedly. Turn up your volume and belt it out, and don't worry if you are in tune. All God wants from you is a joyful noise. I was singing to little Gabriel as he's going to sleep. The other night I had a sore throat and I was singing. And Larry said, is he going to go to sleep with that hacking you're doing? And to him it was beautiful, because as soon as I started singing, he just got real quiet and he went to sleep. You know, it doesn't matter, you know. It really doesn't matter. Shouting. We don't think anything about screaming at the top of our lungs for our favorite sports team. But are you comfortable cheering for Jesus? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 71:23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. When you're singing, are you shouting for joy? You know? Think about this. The shouts of God's people caused the walls of Jericho to fall. Some types of spiritual resistance will not come down until you praise, till you raise your voice. The shouts of God's people caused the walls of Jericho. We sing that the walls are falling down. I thought, no, they're not. Do you feel any walls falling down when we sing that? No, they aren't. You flaggers might, but the people, you don't feel no walls coming down. I don't hear no shouting and stomping and going on because you know that the walls are falling down. Yeah, I really want you to start thinking about this, because God said we have to rejoice in this given hour. We have to start rejoicing and singing like never before and start praising him like never before. And this is why I'm doing this tonight, because I just feel like this is what we need to start doing in our praise and worship. Some churches will go for 2 hours just doing nothing but singing and praising the Lord. You know, Because the anointing falls and everybody just wants to keep right on praising. Sometimes we stop our song service whenever we should keep going. And so, you know, we just have to be in the spirit. And God is in control. And that's why everybody comes in after the praise and worship. Why? Why don't you just go ahead and stay home because you already missed the most important part of the service. Everything else is just something, fluff or something. Because it's in the praise and worship that God really moves upon our lives. It's in the praise and worship that don't you feel yourself getting free inside? You know, that you get free inside. I really want you, you know, if you doom and gloom kids sitting in here with your long faces, I'm going to get this little girl to come up here and smile a little bit so they can see what a smile is all about. She enjoyed coming into the house of God. You other kids need to start enjoying coming into the house of God. You know, so you need to smile and just worship the Lord. Now, if I said there's cupcakes out there in the hallway, boy, these kids would be, they'd be smiles from ear to ear and they couldn't hardly stand to wait to get out there and get the cupcakes. There's no cupcakes, by the way. All right. Where am I at? Clapping. The Psalms have several references to clapping. In Psalm 47:1, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, O clap your hands, all you peoples, shout to God with a voice of triumph. I don't hear too many people clap. Yeah, we used to clap hands in there all the time. My kids would say to me, Mama, don't you clap because you clap out of sequence. You know, so I don't clap very much because I don't clap in rhythm, I guess. But we, you know, everybody used to clap their hands all the time. Nobody claps their hands anymore, hardly. Nobody raises their hands hardly anymore. You know, we're not supposed to be going backwards. We're supposed to be going forwards. And we're not supposed to quit rejoicing. We're supposed to be rejoicing more than we ever have. But we're going backwards, and it's another reason why I'm doing this, because them ladies there with the little hands, I like them little hand things. I think I'll reach her one day and just grab one of them and start using it too. Them little hand things know how to clap, all right? You know, come on. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But it is not just a way to make noise. Clapping in worship has an invisible spiritual impact. Psalm 149:6-8 says that when we engage in the high praises of God, we bind spiritual principalities with chains. If you read that, that's what it does tell you. Clapping in worship has an invisible spiritual impact. Psalm 149:6-8 says that when we engage in the high praises of God, we bind spiritual principalities with chains. Them little clapper hands there, boy, they're just going a mile a minute over there. How many chains are they, how many things are they binding up? Right? I'm serious here. The enemy does everything he can, doesn't he? He uses all his weapons in his arsenal. And this is what God told me, that the church does not use all the weapons that he's given them. That's why the enemy has free reign over us. High decibel praise is a form of spiritual warfare that has profound impact on demonic powers. No wonder the devil has convinced some churches to stay quiet. One time when I was on the evangelistic field, I took some of our songs to the hill countries in Pennsylvania and introduced them. Wow, was that ever a mess? That pastor threw a fit. We do not sing those songs. We sing the same songs we've been singing since we opened the doors. And I said, oh, just try them. We'll have fun. Well, the praise and worship leader liked it, but the pastor didn't, and we didn't do them. There was no way we were going to do them songs. They were so stuck in their way. See, that's why God sent me there, to get them unstuck. And they were just as stuck when I left as they were when I got there, because they refused to change. After all this is what we've done, do you know how hard it was for me when, because after all this is all what we've always done, you know, all of a sudden God says, you need to change up this song service. This is not where I'm at right now. You always the nice, quiet little praise songs, you know, and quietly worshiping the Lord. And then he wanted me to do the upbeat thing. And I had to work and work and work to get these people to receive these new songs. We just don't do it that way. But then once they accepted it, once they, you guys weren't here then, and once the change was taking place, they loved it. They didn't want to go back to where we came from. Everybody balks at change. I don't care who you are, everybody does. Because after all, you're not quite sure what's going to happen and when the change occurs. God wants us to worship him better than what we are. I know sometimes, boy, you guys get so vibrant, I can't hardly stand it. And the reason why I sit is because my feet swell so bad. If I stood and worshiped, then I couldn't stand and preach. So that's why I sit. But my feet just want to dance. They just don't want to sit still. And you guys really get excited. And you really excite me, too. And I think, if I could only stand. But God's going to fix that, too. So I really want you to really, every service, not just every now and then. I want you every service to come in here really excited. I don't care what's going on in your life. I really don't. Some days when you hear me sitting there yelling and carrying on, I've had the worst day ever. And God just moves upon me to shout, so I just start shouting. And you know what? I forget about the worst day ever. And all I can think about is how wonderful God is. Are you listening here? Brother Allen, you are riding your motorcycle to church, right? You should shout your guts out from home to here. You should have yourself all praised up till you ever get here. You know, some of you people near you driving in your cars to get here, you should be praising God the top of your voice. Top of your lungs, we'll say, all right? I used to do that. Excuse me, I don't do it anymore. The kids would all think I'm just going crazy. You know? But we need to start doing that. Dancing. This is one thing I want to get at here. One of the most powerful moments I ever experienced in worship was when, Lee Grady, was when I danced in a church for more than an hour with a group of Christians in Nigeria. He danced for over an hour. I was absolutely soaked with sweat by the end of the service, and my calves were so sore the next morning, but my spirit was free. Many Christians are too self-conscious to express their worship and dance, even if it's just a simple sway of a side-to-side shuffle. But the Bible is still clear in Psalm 149:3. Let them praise his name with dancing. If you want God to move in your life, you may need to move when you worship. You know, whenever we was over in Germany, the only place that Americans could work was in the officers' club, and they turned the officers' club into a family community. And so I worked in the officers' club as a waitress, and I watched those, you know, at night, you know, they didn't have the kids there, of course, but I watched those guys come in there and get so drunk and act so stupid and shout and dance and carry on like fools. But yet when you get in the house of God, you sit there so dignified. You know, you won't move your mouth, you won't move your feet, you won't move nothing. But yet you get out there and get drunk. Why don't you get drunk on the Holy Spirit wine? If you get drunk on the Holy Spirit wine, you act like you were out in a club somewhere. This is what really bothered me, because I saw that and now I see this. And I can't believe people won't worship God, but yet they worship the devil. Come on, saints. Kneeling. Catholics and Protestants have practiced kneeling during worship for centuries, but many of us, Pentecostals and Charismatics, have forgotten this vital biblical practice. Muslims bow in prayer 5 times a day, yet it has become a strange practice in the evangelical church. I can remember when I used to kneel down during praise and worship and just kneel there and just weep my eyes out, because the anointing of God would hit me so strong. Now, if I'm kneeled down, I might not get back up again. No, that's not true. But I don't, you know, I see the flaggers, but then I don't see who's behind me, so I don't know if people behind me do it or not, but we really need to worship him that way, too. There's just so many ways that we can worship the Father. David wrote in Psalm 95:6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. God's word says every knee will bow. So we might as well start learning how to bow right now, right? Kneeling inspires humility and reminds us that we are not God. You may find the most profound experience with Jesus occurs when you are on your knees. Turn up the volume. When King David brought the ark into Jerusalem, he was so overjoyed that true worship was restored that he danced before God with total abandonment. I want to stop there. You know, I used to have the old folk come in here, you know, their hearing aids and everything, and I say, that music is too loud, you got to turn that music down. I said, turn your earphones off. You know, I said, it's not too loud. If you put it down, you know, and we've done it in here. You've had the music too low, and it took away all the anointing from it. You have to know when to turn the volume up. And I'm not saying blast the speakers out of the sky. I'm just saying you have to know what you're doing during praise and worship with the volume of the music, because it can destroy the anointing. Not too long ago, I asked for a song to be played here, and they played it, but they played it too low, and it didn't do a thing that it was supposed to do. So we really have to be watch everything that we do when we're praising the Lord. When King David brought the ark into Jerusalem, he was so overjoyed that true worship was restored that he danced before God with total abandonment. Yet his wife Michal was so embarrassed by his radical display of devotion that she criticized him and became barren as a result. 2 Samuel 6, 12-23 tells us that. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Odom to the city of David with gladness. That was the ark of covenant. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. That's what David did. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." In other words, he was dancing in his underwear. All right. So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. And I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. You better watch how you're mocking people who are praising the Lord. I said, I don't care what you do, just don't get undressed, all right? Just go ahead and praise the Lord, and just don't worry about your next-door neighbor. If they don't like it, well, let them take it to the Father. But I want you to start really rejoicing in the Lord. This is what brings the anointing. If you've ever been around revivals, they always have the louder music, and it brings the strong anointing. Which would you rather be? Would you rather be totally in abandonment to God, or would you rather stay bound up? You know, you have to ask yourself that. Do I want to be totally free in the Spirit, or do I want to be bound up? Learning to praise the Lord with everything. I used to teach this, and everything in Psalm tells you, use everything and praise the Lord. Because whenever we started using something besides a piano, started using drums and guitars, people threw a fit. And then I had to find out in the Bible that they used everything to praise the Lord. And saints, if you feel uncomfortable with that kind of praise, then there's something still bound up inside of you. There's something that is not yet free. You are not ready to worship the Lord with all of your heart. And you need to find out what it is and get unbound. If somebody shouting in the service bothers you, you have a problem. If somebody dancing in the service bothers you, you have a problem. If people clap too loud, then you have a problem. You can't do any of that too much for God. You know, I used to always get upset whenever when they first brought the picture of the smiling, laughing picture of Jesus out. Well, I thought that was so terrible. I threw a fit about that. Then God told me, he said, do you think we don't laugh in heaven? You know, and then I accepted that picture. And, you know, so, you know, we all get bound up with something, but we have to listen to God and get unbound from it. And when I found out that God and them really had a party up in heaven, I really got excited. And, you know, and I started having, you know, God would say, I want you to have a party in here. And so we started doing what God would tell us to do. And he said, get the party favors and have a party. Well, some people came in and thought we just lost our mind. We didn't lose our mind. We just spent a little bit of money. All right. But we were doing what God said to do. And it would always turn out good. People had a one time somebody was in here, a lady pastor. And she sat right back there in that row. And we were praying, and she was sitting with her arms crossed, just listening and watching. And we dropped the balloons, and everybody started stomping on the balloons. And she gave a yell, and she told me afterwards she was totally bound. But when we did that, she got unbound, and she'll never get bound up again. You know, I didn't know that. You know, nobody knew that except her. But she said, I thought this was so undignified, your songs and everything else. But once those balloons dropped, and everybody started running and jumping and throwing balloons, I was set free. If you'll listen to the voice of the Lord, you'll be in the Spirit. He will always lead you and guide you and direct you in what you should do. And when he tells you what to do, it always works out. Now, there's sometimes I just want to have the balloons. God says no. And I know if I have it, I'm going to be messed up. You know, right now I'd like to advertise we're going to have, you know, a revival. Nope. Can't do that because God's not ready for that. We've always been led by the Spirit of God, and that's the way we will continue to be. And if somebody comes in and tries to tell us to do something differently, God always removes them because he is given full and complete rule and reign in this church. He should be given full and complete rule and reign in your lives, in your worship, and your praise. He should be first in everything that you say and everything that you do. Are you listening? You should never be ashamed of who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm not ashamed that we have a small church. I'm not ashamed that we shout and carry on during praise and worship. I'm not ashamed that demons manifest when the anointing is here. I'm not ashamed that we have a deliverance ministry. I'm not ashamed that I'm a prophet. I'm just not ashamed of anything because we're serving a God. We're serving God, right? And so if you're really ashamed of all this stuff, then you really don't think too much of your Father. Is this persecution time for the Christians? I don't know. I mean, they're being persecuted overseas, but it is our time. I don't know. I don't know what people are going to say and do, but I do know one thing. I've also been to revivals. They called them revivals, and they've had their loud music and everything, and there wasn't one lick of anointing. All it was a bunch of people up there just jumping and yelling and screaming just because that was a thing to do. Are you listening to that? I went to Florida one time. There was a big revival going on down there, and I walked in, and I felt nothing. And this friend who used to be here and moved to Florida, for health reasons, you know, I was staying in her house, and she said, don't you feel it? Just don't you feel it? Don't you feel it? And I'm sitting there thinking, feeling what? You know? And finally, I said to her, I said, no, I really don't. I don't feel nothing. Oh, do you need prayer? I said, I don't think so. I just don't feel nothing. And I watched the people, and they were just shouting and screaming and up there just carrying on. And when they gave the altar call, there wasn't hardly anything happened to anybody, one or two people. So if all that anointing was there, then I found out that there was a whole lot of sin going on in the leadership, and there was no anointing there. It wasn't coming from God. And then, you know, years down the road, this young lady said to me, she called me one day because we're real close, and she said, I found out that I've been religious all these years. And I thought to myself, finally. There's a whole lot of things I know about people I never tell them. Because it's going to crucify them. It's going to hurt them, you know. And eventually God will get to them and God will tell them. And she said, yeah. She said, all these times I thought the Spirit was up there wibbled and wobbled and falling down. And it wasn't even God. And she says, and I always thought I was the only one going to heaven. I found out just last week, I'm probably the one that's not going to go to heaven. I mean, she will, but She said, I have been so religious. But she said, now I really have the Spirit of God. So I don't want you to get religious. I want you to be able to check everything out. You know, God said, be fruit inspectors. Check the fruit out all the time to make sure that what's going on really is God. You know, when God was moving here in here in all those years, we had all kind of fruit cakes come in here. And they did some crazy things, and they said they were godly. We knew they weren't, but we didn't say anything to them. Because you know what? You never know when God's really going to touch them. We didn't stop them. A lot of people, why do you allow that to go on? You know, they weren't hurting anybody. You know, if you walk in the Spirit, you knew it wasn't God, and you knew that they just, what happens is they want God so much that they just manifest something. So, what's it hurting? Wasn't hurting none of, you know, it shouldn't have hurt anybody if you're walking in the Spirit. You just have to pray God really touch them. You know, give them what they want. Give them the real thing. And quite a few of those people eventually did get the real thing. And they did thank us that we didn't kick them out when they were doing dumb stuff. And why can't we just love? Why can't we just let people be who they are while they're trying to find out who they are in Christ? Why can't we just go ahead and, you know, ignore some dumb things that people do and just pray for them? You know what? I used to do those type of people. When they was all through manifesting their thing, I would just quietly call them up and pray for them. And they got set free. Come on. It's time that if we really learn to worship the Father the way we ought, then we'll be able to do everything else. We'll be able to walk in the Spirit, be able to minister to people, not put people down, be able to minister to them and see them totally and completely set free. There was somebody in here one time, a man, I believe. Yeah, I know it was a man. I'm not going to say I believe. I know it was a man. And he was back there just being about as religious as he could possibly be. And when he was all finished and done, then God had me call him up. And I said, you're bound up. You need to be set free. And God said, didn't he set him totally free that night? But see, if I'd have went back there and told him he needed to shut up and sit down or leave the church, he just left here bound. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You know, God, we know what's going on. If you're walking in the Spirit, you know what's going on. And so you just be a hospital. Just love them. Minister love to them. And God will do the rest. We still have somebody comes in here. They are so bound in their religion. And they just refuse to even acknowledge that they're a little bit bound, let alone all the way bound. But we still love on that person every time they come in. And we still just show them love. Minister to them, you know, and let them go on. We're believing one day God's just going to dramatically, you know, just drop down miraculously and just totally, completely change that man. And he's going to say, wow. A lot of people say, wow, I really made a fool of myself. Thank you for not exposing it. Well, you don't have to expose it. You know, anybody's walking in the Spirit sees it. But we just don't do that. We really don't. We've had people come in here when the anointing was flowing. They would bark like dogs and crawl on the floor like cats and, you know, lay there and beat the wall with their feet, lay in the bag and beat the wall, and, you know, and with their feet. And they said that was all God, you know. And we just kept right on doing what we were doing. And just we had intercessors in here praying that God would take care of them. But really and truly, all the anointing that was here all started during praise and worship. All the healings took place was during praise and worship. Everything was evolved around praise and worship. If you don't have the right praise and worship going on, God can't move. A couple times God said to me, just stop the praise and worship. They don't mean a word they're singing. I don't even want to hear them. And so I did, you know, and they all looked at me shocked, but God didn't want to hear your make-believe songs. It wasn't coming from your heart. So how many of you are ready tonight to really search your heart? Am I really giving my all to God? Am I really just selling out to God? I was trying to tonight, but then you heard the prophetic words you got. I thought, well, I don't know who this is, God, but they need to straighten up. Then God spoke. But it was really binding me up during praise and worship. See, and it'll do that if you're a prophet or if you're walking in spirit. Somebody doing something like that will bind you up. And I thought, now look, it's Wednesday night. And I'm going to get up here and teach. And I don't need this bondage on me. See, you should be able to come into the house of God and feel when it's heavy in the atmosphere. If you're truly walking in the Spirit, you'll always feel when it's heavy in the atmosphere. If you just come in and say, I didn't feel nothing, everything just fine, then you need to get deeper with God. Or, and I'm going to say something else, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, sometimes the only person that's going to feel that is the prophet. And everybody else is going to be happy, 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 but God wants to use the prophet to say something to correct what's going on. So if you don't feel it and you're fine and you're just rejoicing, just keep on rejoicing. Amen? Because God will take care of it the way he needs to take care of it. Okay, so then who would you rather be in that story? The wholehearted worshiper or the stuck-in-the-mud religious critic? You don't want to be the stuck-in-the-mud religious critic, do you? Don't let tradition, spiritual pride, or personal hang-ups stop you from experiencing all God has for you. Don't let tradition, spiritual pride, or personal hang-ups stop you from experiencing all God has for you. Break out of your box and turn up your volume. Learn to worship the Lord. I remember here when I first started church, I had just a guitar player, and him and his wife was my praise and worship team. And we used to go over to the Baltimore area and minister to some churches over there. And people made fun of us. They said we couldn't even carry a tune in the bucket, but we thought it sounded beautiful. But you know what? These pastors would invite us to come, and we'd sing. And I would, you know, God would say, have them sing it over again. So I'd go, sing it over again. And, you know, the glory of God would fall, and people were healed. They were set free. You know, they gave their heart to the Lord. I mean, and the pastors were so tickled they couldn't. Some pastors fell out on the floor and from their seats onto the floor. They were so tickled they couldn't stand herself. But yet everybody else said, there's no anointing in your group. I don't know why you even go out. Had to be anointing there somewhere, right? For the signs, wonders, and miracles to be taking place. You know, and so what if they thought we couldn't sing? The Holy Spirit can sing, and God didn't care what it sounded like. I thought we sounded great. In fact, whenever I was ordained over in Salisbury, my praise and worship leader, she sang. And whenever they gave us a tape of her singing, I thought, that's her. It sounded beautiful. I said, how did you make her sound like that? He said, all you do is play with a few buttons, and that's what she sounds like. She sounded like a professional singer. So, you know, learn to play with the buttons back there and make us sound good, all right? So how many of you are going to play with your buttons and make yourself sound good? You're really going to start worshiping the Lord when you go, I don't care what the day's like. I really don't. Everybody has bad days. You're not the only one that has bad days. But if we all came in here with our bad days and gloom and doom and despair, God could never move. Don't you want to see God move for others? Then we, as the body of Christ here at the Lighthouse, we have to come in here, let our worries outside the door, and just come here and just worship the Lord. Now, do you think you'd start doing that? I think you just come in and just start worshiping the Lord with all your heart. And then as other, you know, when the anointing was in there so strong before, people walking down the streets were drawn. They were drawn in here, and they passed out, you know, in the Spirit as they walked through the door. It's because the praise and worship was going on, because the anointing was in here, and God did the rest. I don't know if you know the Rhodes sisters or not, but whenever the anointing was real strong, you know, I had different people in, and they called me and said, can we hear the anointing's going there? Can we come and minister in your church? They asked me. I said, sure. And they came, and they ministered, you know, and then next thing I know, I got another phone call from them, and my daddy wants to come with us. Can we come and minister again? I said, sure. And so they came, and they said, we're going to let our daddy preach tonight. And I didn't care what they did. They had the stage, you know. So he got me preached. I mean, he preached like a house on fire. And he told the people, he said, this is the first church I've ever preached in where the anointing is this strong. And I've preached all over the world. He said, you've got something here that other churches would die for. I mean, and, you know, I was, wow, you know. I mean, these were important people, you know. Now they work with Oral Roberts. They sing there. But, you know, the anointing destroys the yoke. And he said, whatever you have need of, the anointing is here to give it to you. Just take it. Learn to worship the Lord with all of your heart. Lose all control. You know, and I thought about Jackie, who used to come here, you know, and she came here, just the anointing hit her, and she just pulled everybody out of their seats, and everybody got a little bit upset with her. So God just stopped it. Okay, you don't want me to do that? I'll take the anointing from her to do that. And she quit. But I was thinking, when she did that, people danced through the church, and they were set free. But see, the people didn't like that. And so God stopped it. God will stop anything whenever if you're standing on his toes. He'll stop it. He won't push nothing on us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be standing on his toes. I want him to be free to do whatever he wants to do in here, in our lives, in our homes, in our workplace. I just want him to be free to use us anywhere he wants to. God's saying, if you would just back up one step and look at yourself with clear eyes, you will see the areas that you fall short in your worship. He's saying some of you think that you have it together, but you really don't. But he wants you to back up one step and just check yourself out. How are you really praising the Lord? Are you watching others and saying, I can't believe they're acting like that? Or are you watching others and saying, I wish I could be like them? I mean, for years, I'd get in here and just the minute the music started, I'd jump up and start dancing like an Indian. And I said, God had me do it so long. One time I said, God, I was in high heels. I said, God, I can't do this much longer. The first time he ever had me do it, I walked into a church, and there was a lady, there were six kids, and the baby was giving her a hard time. So I said, here, let me hold your baby. And I picked that baby up. He was a heavy little Jasper. I picked that baby up, and the minute I picked that baby up, the Holy Spirit hit me. And that's the first time I never knew that he did this. And I danced all over that church holding that baby. So your baby ain't going to hold you back is what I'm trying to say. And so they tell me, see, because I was caught up in the Spirit, they said that they kept trying to take that baby from me, but nobody could touch me. Nobody could get near that baby. And I danced all over the place, I don't know how long, with that baby in my arms. So, if you really want, God will touch you. It doesn't matter what you're doing. He'll touch you. And you'll lose yourself to God. And God can change. See, what happened that day was some people around me got set free. So God wants to use you in that way. So if he touches your feet to dance, if he touches your throat to shout, do whatever, you know, don't hold it back. Just don't hold it. Sometimes I sit there and say, God, use me to do something, you know, and he doesn't. So I can't do anything in my flesh, but if the Spirit of God hits me, I can do anything he hits me to do. So that's another thing I want to tell you before I close. Don't try to manifest something. Ask the Holy Spirit to touch you and to let you worship just like King David did. See, that's my prayer. I want to worship like King David did from the very depth of my soul. I don't care what anybody has to say, because I'm praising my Father, not the people.